I'd like for you to turn this morning in the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We are studying the seven statements that our Lord made from the cross, and this is the sixth time that he will make a statement. John, chapter 19. Notice, if you will, at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." That was the fifth statement. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. They filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." There's the statement. I would like for us to look at this particular statement from three different viewpoints, or in three different ways this morning, to help you understand, as Jesus hung on the cross and made the statement, "It is finished," what was he talking about? First of all, I want to look at this particular statement grammatically. In other words, what does it mean? The New Testament was written in the Greek language, and when John wrote his gospel, when he got to that part where it said, "It is finished," the Holy Spirit inspired John to use the Greek word that says "it is finished," and don't get nervous, I'm going to explain this. It is one word. 10 letters, but one word. Tetelestai. That is a Greek word translated "it is finished" in English. T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. This is not going to be hard. Hang with me. The first part, T-E, is a prefix. The last part, T-A-I, is the suffix of the word. The basic word, tell, T-E-L-E, or T-E-L-E-S, that is the basic word. It means the end or the goal. It is translated perfect, finished, completed, accomplished, performed, paid. Those are all ways to take the word tetelestai and translate it. Notice the English translators said they chose the word "it is finished." That's correct, tetelestai. They could have said "it's completed." That would be accurate as well. So I think you understand what I'm saying. You'll be surprised. We use that word "tell" a lot. You use it, you just didn't realize it. Did you ever get on the telephone? There it is, that's the word. Tele, T-E-L-E, phone. Phone means to take sound to an end. Oh, I get that. Telephone. Telescope. Scope means what? To see. So the word telescope means to see to the end. Television. See, you didn't realize you were using that word, did you? Vision. again, to bring a scene from the distance up close, and so we call that a television. Telecast, telegram, teleprompter, telepathy. Oh, you didn't realize you use that word all the time. So you do know the word tetelestai. Tel is the basic word. Now, don't worry about this, but when you read it as Jesus gave it and as it was translated, it is written in the third person singular and the perfect tense. You say, "What? I don't understand that." Let me explain it. What he said on the cross was, "It," that's third person, "it is finished." In the Greek language, there is a particular tense called the perfect tense, and we don't even have it in English. What it means is, it is finished, it stands finished presently, and it will always be finished. Amen. When you use that particular verb, that's what it says. That's interesting. Notice third person. It is finished. When Jesus said, "It is finished," what was he talking about? Well, if it was in the first person, he would have said, and it would be translated, "I am finished." That's not what he said. "It is finished." He couldn't say, "I am finished," because he wasn't. Right? He came back from the grave. He's alive today. He's back in heaven. What is it? It is the work. When Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished," what he was saying is, "The work is finished. I finished it and paid for it. It's done. Now and in the future and forever, I have paid for the sins of the people." What a powerful statement for him to make. It is finished. And remember in John 17:4, he said, "I have glorified you, Father, on earth, and I have finished the work which you gave me to do." So I'm not surprised from the cross he said, "It is finished. This is it. This is the payment." So that's what the word means as far as grammatically. Secondly, culturally, this word was used. The people reading the New Testament would have been aware of this. Culturally, how was the word used at that particular time? Okay. If you were back in the first century Christian, and you saw this word, you may have seen it on some of the business receipts. Or archaeologists have found tax receipts. Would you believe that? From the first century. They found them. And when they looked at some of them, here's what it's, there was something written or stamped on many of those tax receipts. Tetelestai. Which meant it's paid. That makes sense to me. I get that. It's paid. It's finished. It's completed. Here's the receipt. Tetelestai. That's what they put on it in the first century. So notice, they're very familiar with what Jesus said. That's the business community. But then the day laborers. Now, at that particular time in the first century, you may remember, and Jesus tells parables about this, people would be hired in the morning. They're called day laborers. They would come to the city square. They would be hired to work all day. They would work all day, and then they would come back to the same place to be paid. When they came back, this is what you would have heard them say as they walk up to the person who hired them. "It's done. I finished the work. tetelestai. That's what they would say, tetelestai. And he'd say, oh, okay. And they would pay him. Interesting. Tetelestai. And even in the literary community, we see early scrolls and manuscripts and things of those who wrote what we would call books. And would you believe, many times, down at the end, it says, tetelestai. The story or the book is finished. The manuscript is complete. It's done. I don't know if they do it anymore, but I remember when I was a kid, it said, the end, right? I think they dropped that because I used to think, why do they have to say that? I mean, I get that. It's on the last page. But anyway, what they were putting on there, what we were putting on there is tetelestai. It's done. Okay. I have two passages that I want us to go to. And this is biblically now, how is the word used in Scripture? All right. I want you to turn to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, let me begin reading at verse 17. Now listen carefully. This has to do with the offerings which are accepted or not accepted in the Old Testament times. Verse 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or strangers in Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows or for any of his free will offerings, which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering. Verse 19, you shall offer of your own free will. Here's the way you do it. You had to make your own decision. And it is to be a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. Verse 21. Watch what happens. Whoever offers a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow or free will offering from the cattle of his sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. You can't use a sheep that is blind or broken or maimed or has an ulcer of eczema or scabs. No, you cannot use those. And in the Greek Old Testament translation, it had to be perfect, tetelestai. There it is. That sheep, that animal, to be a proper sacrifice, to be acceptable by the Lord, had to be an animal, a sheep, a lamb. It couldn't have any defects. You say, well, what if I was getting ready to offer it and then all of a sudden it scratched its leg? You can't use it. Had to be perfect. Why? Because the Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. Those Old Testament lambs, those perfect lambs, they had to be complete. They had to be perfect. They had to be tetelestai. To be a lamb that is acceptable to the Lord, and that is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He was perfect. And when he made the sacrifice, it was perfect, because he said, tetelestai, it's paid. I'm perfect. I paid it. I am the lamb that makes a sacrifice. I am the fulfillment of all of the millions of lambs through all of the centuries that were offered. He was the fulfillment. It's complete, Jesus said. It's finished. It's paid. Tetelestai, what a great statement. In Hebrews, listen to this. In chapter 10, the scripture says, oh, you want to turn to it. That way you can mark it. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 would be a good verse for you to mark. Verses 11 through 14, let me read. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. Now, he's going to play off of what we read in Leviticus. Hebrews 10:11. And every priest stands ministering and daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, capital M, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. And here comes a key verse. For by one offering or sacrifice, he has perfected, hello, there's the word, forever, those that are being sacrificed. By one offering, Jesus made it perfect, complete, fulfilled, accomplished, paid in full. That's what he said as he hung there and said, Tetelestai. They heard him say, it's finished. Not I am finished. It is finished, the work. Now turn to one more passage. Turn to the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. Daniel chapter 9, which could be, as I've told you before, a Bible study of its own, just this one chapter. If you don't know, the word Messiah is mentioned twice in the Old Testament. Both of them are in chapter 9 of Daniel. In fact, let me show you. I'm referring now to verses 24 through 27. So the last part of Daniel. Not an exposition of all of this. It's for another day. But I want you to see the word Messiah in the Old Testament. Look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah. That's Jesus. That's the Christ, the Prince. There shall be. And then he gives the years of what it will take to get to Christ. Then look at verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, it's actually a period of 7 weeks. That's a whole other explanation I don't need to go into today. But after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. If you didn't see the crucifixion in this chapter, right there it is. God used the same terminology back in Genesis, talking about destroying the world. He said, I'll never cut off the people again with a flood like this. Cut off means put to death. What you just read right there in the Old Testament, Daniel 9, 26, from a particular time, It's actually from 445 BC, according to this passage. A certain number of years are given until the Messiah will come and be crucified. The Old Testament in this chapter tells us what year Jesus will come and be presented on Palm Sunday, after which he dies. He's cut off, put to death. Amazing chapter. So there's the crucifixion. And if you didn't know, this chapter tells us from a particular time period, hundreds of years before Jesus came, exactly how many years it would be until he would be presented and then put to death on the cross, cut off. Here's what I want you to see. Look, if you will, in verse 24. 70 weeks, those are 70 units of 7 years, are determined upon your people and for your holy city. And he's going to then talk about the Messiah to finish the transgression and make an end of sins. And then he talks about the Messiah being put to death, cut off. There it is. It will be so long from this particular time till this time to finish the work. There's the tetelestai again. So Daniel 9 is using the same terminology. It'll be from this particular point to this until the Messiah will finish the work. He will finish the transgressions. That is, he will pay for our sins. It'll be complete. No wonder Jesus, echoing Daniel chapter 9, said, "Tetelestai, it's finished." Oh my goodness. It is finished. It's complete. The transgression is paid. Paid in full. Philip Bliss wrote some words that we've sung. "Lifted up was he to die. It is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior.